tree in Oregon that I think all of you recognize, though, that if you let our parks and our roads, the beaches, the general environment deteriorate, you're not going to have a tourism industry in the state. That's simple. And the reason is that people will not have the desire to come here. And I think that the challenge that faces the state government and organizations such as yours is that we are in a time of limited resources. There is no doubt. And for those of you, I don't know how many of you are employed in the public sector, but the trauma of ballot measure 3, if it passes, is going to be rather substantial, not only on local government, but it's my belief that the legislature will not be able to, I should say not the legislature, but the economy in the state, will not, in my opinion, recover probably until the second half of the 1983-85 biennium. And by that I mean is actually putting people to work, because regardless of all the solutions that the politicians come up with about what we need to do, there's one thing that I am absolutely unequivocally believing in, is that we'll solve the state's problems and actually put the people of the state back to work. And how we do that is of critical importance to us, because, you know, with a state that has 75% of its general fund revenues that basically supply the dollars for not only social services, but for issues like the parks, for roads and highways, things like that, though it comes out of the gas tax, basically 75% of the general fund comes from the personal income tax. Another 12% comes from the corporate excise tax. And it isn't a difficult correlation to understand that you've got 155,000, 160,000 people in the state unemployed. Those unemployed people don't draw paychecks. If they don't draw paychecks, they don't pay taxes into the general fund. It's that simple of an equation. And the fact is that we are, as I said, in a time of considerable limitation on resources the state has. I was just up at Salishan, and obviously the thing that everyone's talking about is that are we going to have new taxes in 1983? It's my belief that, in fact, that the legislature, with or without that, will not be putting out additional tax increases in the form of a sales tax or income tax increase. What they will look at is whether some of the sin taxes, as we call them, on cigarettes and that are due to sunset on January 1 or June 30th, are going to be extended into the next biennium, or they will be allowed to go back to the level they were before 1981. And so that is probably the new revenue source that the state is looking at. I mean, additional revenue source, not a new one. So what it means is that issues that you're concerned about are critically important, not only to the present time, but also to the future of the state, whether it's in the tourism industry, whether it's in the fishing industry, whether it's in fact that you're committed to a belief that in fact there's a balanced relationship between man and woman, economic development, and the environment. You know, I must tell you that about a year ago, my wife gave me a book on estuaries, and I read it for the first time. Though I had been involved in the argument in Coos Bay on the extension of the airport into the estuary, it had basically taken on, a certain environmental aspect that we were arguing. And then when you read exactly the delicate balance that estuaries provide and the function that they play in our ecology, you become very, very concerned about how we treat them and the management of the resources on the coast. Because let me suggest this. One, that there is going to be some form of economic development on the coast. And I understand very well that those people who live in the valley would like it so that the coast always remains undeveloped. And in fact, that they can visit there on the weekends and spend their vacations over here. But the fact is that it's an economic entity, and the statement has to be dealt with. And there's going to be tremendous pressure on trying to bring economic development to the Oregon coast. And the real challenge is I think that to make that economic development in a manner that's compatible with the environment. Now, I'm going to tell you a general philosophy I have, is that I do believe economic and environmental considerations are compatible. And I believe that, in fact, that if you make the environmental considerations when you're making your economic decisions, and you make those long-term environmental decisions looking out past today and looking down 5 and 10 and 15 years down the road, you will, in essence, make the right economic long-term decision. Because what will happen is that, in fact, that the long-term economic decisions will be the ones that provide stability and long-term income and employment. for the people of the state. So I don't see them as basically opposite of each other. In fact, you have to have one over the other. I think what has to change is you can't look at environmental issues, and you can't look at issues like estuaries in the short term. I think they have to be looked at in the 5, 10, and 15-year program. It's one of the concerns, and again, I have been following, probably less than I should, the issue of the spraying of the pesticide 7 in Tillamook Bay. And the concern that you have to ask is not whether there's a short-term economic benefit to it, but what is the long-term impact of doing that? And I think that that's, in my opinion, the great lesson that this country is going to have to deal with the whole general use of chemicals. It's not the fact that I don't believe that, in fact, at this time, there are not all the alternatives, like in agriculture, that you shouldn't use chemicals. It's the fact that we haven't spent the money in research and development and finding alternatives to using those. And what I think that you have to do is you have to pressure the industries, you have to pressure the employers, you have to pressure all the industries to find alternatives to the way we're doing things as trying to enhance our economic development. The point that I'm trying to drive home to you is that we're looking for alternatives in state government, because a lot of things that you want are basically coming from the state, and I'm hoping you understand under this limited revenue forecast that we have, we're going to have to be very, very creative in trying to bring about some protection, some of the concerns you have. Now, what I can promise you is this, with the Fish and Wildlife, I and the department, I promise you as the governor of this state that I intend to be a very active participant in major issues that concern environmental issues, particularly on the coast. Because, and the reason is, I'm going to tell you, I think this state's long-term economic development is in its ports. I think the foreign, the export trade market is this state's economic stability and its economic future. It's also my belief that the state, if it wants to attract industry and wants to build a stable and a diversified economic base, if it will make its commitment to its ports, that in fact, that I think if we will find the businesses make those long-term decisions, that we have the transportation they need to do business with to be able to get their products into those Pacific Rim countries in international trade. It's that simple. But the point that you have to remember as we do that, the concerns that you people represent become critically important, because it is your involvement or citizen participation in the process that is going to allow us to make those economic decisions that are in the long run in the best interest of the state, how we utilize the resources in Oregon and on the coast. I understand some of the problems with land use planning, as an example with the question of the tourism industry and a lack of a goal look for a better word, the destination resort. So that in fact, when they get here, the drilling facilities like Salishan, that in fact that we do not address that, and it is going to have to be addressed, because it's a haphazard approach that we currently use, and I do see it as an economic benefit to this particular area. And I think it would be an industry that would be extremely compatible with the coast if it's done in the right way, with the building up of tourism, to get it off of one, a cyclical type of seasonal industry, and spread it out a little longer so we can get people here year-round, so that the industries up here aren't going up and down every time there's a storm or no storm or something like that happens on the coast. But my commitment, again, is the governor, is not only to be an advocate on those things that we have direct control over, but I can promise you this, that as the governor of the state, in dealing with the federal government and dealing with our congressional legislation, whether it's in fact the funding for the Marine Sciences Center, or if it's in fact that trying to get a particular program here in Oregon, I can tell you I am going to be a very vocal advocate of going back and doing business with it. Because I do believe the governor is the chief elected official in the state. I think his responsibility is to lead the Oregon congressional delegation. And I think that in talking to them, they would like to see a governor that does that. But the whole ramification of issues, whether it's offshore oil drilling, and one thing I have become absolutely convinced about after Secretary Watts made his decision, that there is no one in this state that has been watching, government, I should say, that has been carefully watching the direction that in fact the state's going on the question of offshore oil. I don't think that we have anyone with the technical expertise that deals with the state lands, with its estuaries, with the long-term decisions again, that people in the federal government particularly are trying to have the state make. Now, I was rather intrigued, you know, when James Watts designated the acreage off in California, Northern California, for drilling, and the response to Oregon was the reason why Oregon wasn't involved, and there was no acres off the coast of Oregon that weren't included, and the answer was that, well, what the oil companies, in essence, hadn't shown any interest at this time in developing and exploring off the Oregon coast. Now I find out that, in fact, that there is certain agreements with certain oil companies for seismic exploration for oil off the Oregon coast. But the fact is it all appears to be being done in a rather silent and in a very closed-door manner. And I think that those are the decisions that when we're doing that, we want to have it out in the public so that people can see and we can all understand exactly what those long-range directions that this state is taking. And I can assure you that in supervising those type programs with state lands, estuaries, the questions that we deal with offshore oil drilling and our relationship with the federal government, I and you will be involved in a very open forum as to exactly the direction that we're going to go. Now, my commitment to you is one, to get somebody in there that is a technician that understands these issues. I'm not interested in appointing a political friend to that type of a position. I think that that issue and the state lands issue and the state land board becomes a technical one. That you need somebody there who understands these issues, that has a vision of where the state should be in the future, instead of just dealing with it as a political friend or something right today. So those are the general comments that I have to you. What I'd like to do is to open it up in an educational forum for me and have you talk to me about some of the issues and see if you can pry from me some of the directions I think maybe we should be going.
On the seismic survey, this group really blew the whistle on the seismic survey business a year and a half ago. When they were about to start their seismic survey right at the beginning of the crab season, and then more recently we found out that they were going to do more surveys, so we went to work on that. But along that same line, one of the things that has concerned us is that in California, they have done a lot of research off the coast so that they know which areas they do not want oil drilling in. They know what they've got out there. We don't know that. And they're in a lot better position, it seems to me, to say, okay, you can come here, that's all right. But we don't want you here. It's not all right. I don't believe Oregon is in a position to make those kind of decisions, and that's something that really concerns me.
Pretty much what you were saying.
You know, one of the things, and I don't want to turn this into a political forum, but just a... Tell as I moved back from the AOI, as the repercussions hit me. But what I mean by that is not meant that it's a political forum, because I do want to be the governor, and I think that you have a right, and I have a responsibility to come before you and talk to you about these issues. But in the sense that an attack or anything that's negative can be interpreted that. But what I'm more becoming aware of is what's happening in the state is a lot of the problems that face the state have been known for 2 to 3 years, particularly the issue of the Tillamook Bay and what's going on. They've known about that, and nothing's been done. I can go down to a list of issues in the state that basically we've known that we had a problem, and it's almost been that natural humanistic tendency is when there's a problem that if you ignore it, maybe it'll go away and I won't have to deal with it. And all of a sudden, I'll give you another one, the gypsy moth in Salem. We knew that there was a problem there, and what happened is on the use of 7 there, it was just interesting because they ran us up to the wall as that there was no time for any other alternative. And the thing is that a year before, you could have taken and tried other alternatives. You know, some of the bio chemicals that we could have used to try to resolve that problem, and we didn't do it. And I think that that's concerning me more, and that's why I made the statement about the Lands Board, because I think that you anticipate problems, you look out there, and it's part of the role, and start taking those decisions to basically try to avoid that in the long run.
And most of our problems on the coast, and I think elsewhere in Oregon, are the result of development pressures. And a watchdog citizen group like ours with no paid staff has to rely on state and federal agencies for assistance in establishing a proper type of development that you're talking about and that we want. We're not trying to slam the door on development, but there are places where it should go and where it shouldn't go. We're between a rock and a hard place with this economic situation, as you point out. I don't see how in the hell we're going to preserve the quality of life on the coast if ESL doesn't have the staff, if DEQ can't even send anybody out to check a major pollution problem, or what have you, or the Parks Division, you know, has one guy covering the whole damn coast or three counties. That's ridiculous. We somehow have to find funds, and we have to build a constituency for the need for these funds. That's our major task.
If I could, you know, what I think that the number one chore, the responsibility of the next governor of the state has got to be, I can lay out a plan for it and say this, this, this. But the real difficult decision is that I believe that this state has to adopt, and we as a people have to adopt, what I refer to as a strategic policy, where we as Oregonians want to be at the turn of this century in terms of our environment, in terms of our economy, in terms of our educational system, in terms of our transportation system. You know, just sitting down in a long-range plan, looking out and taking the issue of the coast, and when people say economic development, what are we talking about? I mean, not in a very emotional and in a very adversarial type relationship, but sitting down in a plan and pushing a vision of the state where we would be at the turn of the century. And then what the governor, next governor, has to have is the ability to pull in all the different aspects, coalition building in the state, all the different interest groups, whether you're environmental, whether you're business, whether you're labor, your human resources, the governmental structure itself, education, together to sit down and say, listen, we've agreed that this is the plan, and now let's get behind it, and let's all start working toward this objective. And if you do that, I think that you get away from every time something comes up, they're immediately the people polarize themselves, and they view people who are concerned about the long-term impact of these decisions as no growth people, and everybody else is all pro-growth. And that isn't a true statement. And the fact is that if Steve Schell has taught me in one thing about land use planning, I am absolutely convinced that what is amazing to me is that how close even the most vocal proponents of land use planning are, and how, and those who are just adamantly opposed to it, that when you get them to sit down together and to write out what they want to do, they're not very far apart. And they are not very far apart. Now, there are some tough decisions that as the governor I have to make, because it's obvious I can get them so close, and then I have to trip it because they're not going to agree on everything, and I have to say things like who gets the right to appeal, and how, you know, at what point does she have to come in, because those are ones that will always disagree with. But I'm absolutely convinced if we bring the people in and let them be involved in those decisions of what we're going to do with the coast, what are we going to do with the estuary? Get technicians in there to tell us what the impact is. What can we expect will happen? Now, we can't be 100% correct, but if you do that, I think that not only will you have progress and movement and economic development, but as I said, you'll be making those decisions that also conserve and protect the environmental resources on the coast. That is the most important task that this state faces. You can call it economic development, you can call it anything you want, but it's developing a strategic policy where we as a people want to be. You obviously, who live on the coast, you people have a strong commitment to the resources over here. And there's a strong push for development within the citizens of the coast themselves. But it has to be done in a way and in a manner that basically in 20 years we won't be in a position like Florida is today, that's going to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars trying to rebuild their environment, because all that swamp water they thought that they were pumping out and putting all those homes in there, they fall into the holes that are falling into the ground, and then you find out that the seawater is now seeping in to their aquifers, that it will cost them billions of dollars more to replenish that than they ever expended to trying to pump it out. And those are the type of things that I think we have to look at all the time.
You mentioned the ports being a major part of, seeing that as a major part of Logan's economy. What do you think the state could do to encourage port development, port growth?
Let me tell you, the state's resources in its ports have primarily been oriented to the port of Portland. I think we all know that. And what we're recognizing is that there are other ports on the coast. I don't want to slight the Port of Newport at all, because I understand how important it is. But let me talk to the two that we have done a considerable amount of work with, and that's Astoria and Coos Bay. There are transportation problems in those facilities. And it's obvious, if anyone here has traveled Highway 42 very often, from Douglas, from Roseburg over to Coquille and up to Coos Bay, you'll know that I don't care how great of a port facility you haven't got a transportation system, an intertie system, to I-5. And you have to make that commitment. That is a long-term commitment. Now, there's been a lot of talk about always doing that for years, but at some point, it's got to be done. You have to look at a rail system. It's the same thing with that story. Now, Astoria's got one benefit right now, is that they are negotiating for a coal terminal at the port of Astoria. And I understand that that's ever put together, but Burlington Northern has agreed to upgrade the railroad line between Portland and Astoria, and that will help it. Those are the type of things that I think you have to do. You also have to understand that, you know, very frankly, in Coos Bay, where the fight has always been, is with the airport in North Bend. Someone at some particular time in that area is going to have to make a decision what they want to do. They want to stay in litigation for the next 25 or 30 years, whether they're going to fill in the estuary, or whether, in fact, if they're truly interested in developing the Coos Bay North Bend area for economic development. My view, I have to tell you, of land use planning, what its tremendous asset is that it gives us the ability to give certainty to economic development. And you can designate certain areas, say that's for economic, and you know that's where it's going to be. And you can make those decisions on port facilities, on estuaries, when in fact you know what you want to put in there and the direction you're going to go. But I think that the transportation system, I think that a commitment statutorily within the Department of Economic Development to the Ports Division, I mean, not just from rhetoric, but actually understanding that that's the direction the state has to go. You know, as I told you, I have a strong belief that if we make that commitment, it will take dollar commitment to the highway system transportation. I think that's the image that you're looking for. And I think that's when you attract industry and you have people want to locate in Oregon, is in fact when you give them that transportation.
Can I suggest that you have a similar situation with Dean Field? In that it is equivalently possible to establish such things on a river basin over here on an estuary by estuary basis, the rest of the state on a river basis. What are the environmentally tolerable pollution loadings for each body of water? And invite your industrial or municipal discharge permits on the basis of those so that you have the same kind of certainty that presumably you're supposed to have in the land use planning process. That industry will know what it can do, what kind of resources it can do. But that does not exist in the state.
No, In fact, other than the political joy that I got out of Stafford Hansel's land use task force, that basically hit the governor over the head. Listen, other than that, do you know what the irony of it is? He's been saying exactly what I've been saying for the last 6 to 8 months is wrong with the land use planning process. And can I tell you, remember what I said about the strategic policy? This state, and we as Oregonians, and we all share a certain responsibility for this, because the governor always looked to me and he always says, where were you on economic development? Well, you want me to tell you what the record is in this state on economic development? I'll tell you that if you go to the archives at the state library, you'll find out that other than this recession, there have been 5 other recessions that had a substantial impact on the employment force in the state. It was in 49-50, it was in 54-55, it was in 58-59, it was in 70-71, and in 74-75, and every time there was a recession, the same rhetoric came out. Diversified economic development. And what happened after that was that the timber industry came back. And it's a real tragedy, because I go around the state, and you can't believe in a lot of mill towns that I see these guys who are unemployed, and I start talking to them about retraining and where you're going to locate. And you know what they tell me? They said, look, my granddaddy worked in this industry, and he was unemployed, he went back to work. And my daddy, he worked in this industry, and he was unemployed, and he went back to work. And he says, it'll all come back. And the truth is, it's not coming back like it did all the other time, for a variety of reasons. Primarily, and if you want to know, in my opinion, what is happening to us as a state, we're being weaned from the federal government. Because the federal government subsidized this state and this region after World War II to make us economically competitive with other industrial areas in this country, particularly the Northeast, because we were so far from distribution markets. And how they subsidized us, they did it two ways. Basically, by public works projects, dams, things like that, and secondly, in a major way, was making federal dollars available for low interest rate mortgage loans that not only kept the wood products industry going, but gave a boom to the construction industry as well. They are never going to put the dollars back. I wish I could tell you that in 1984, if there's a Democratic president, it would all return, but it will never do that. And what we are being told is in this area of economic development and growth and stability and diversification, you people are going to have to find your own way. And what has happened to us is that we've dealt with every issue on this state on the basis of interest groups. We have an answer for the environmentalists, we have an answer for business, we have an answer for labor, for human resources, for education, and it was like an octopus out there in the tank. You know, the arms just went in every direction, and no one ever looked to see if we had a strategic policy in all of this, that we were all coming out with the same result. Interestingly enough, that's exactly what the way state government is structured. You've got the Department of Environmental Quality, you've got the Land Use Commission, you've got the Economic Development Commission, and they all view themselves, and I think they're right because it's the way we wrote the law, that they each have their own statutory charge, own responsibility, and if it actually goes like this and works with an overall objective, that isn't their problem. And the truth of it is, it's what Stanford Hansel says. There's no coordination, and they go like that. And they don't, and they're not structured to do that. And that, in developing that strategic policy and bringing elements of the state's population into that coalition, you also have to bring state government into that same type relationship so that, in fact, when you're talking about economic development, the Department of Environmental Quality is sitting right with the Land Use Commission when they're talking about industrial and commercially zoned sites. They're also talking about what the DEQ thinks is a tolerable level of pollutants that can be discharged into a river or an estuary to be able to support industrial development. I mean, you can't put it on a land use thing as heavy industry and then have a very sensitive estuary sitting right there where you can't dump anything into it. You just can't do those things. And that's what we've been doing wrong. And that's the thing that I think finds us unattractive to the business and the fact that we're not able to give a coordinated approach to it. And I can assure you that my objective is first is to develop that policy, and I can promise you you'll be involved in the determination of what that policy is. I'm not going to tell you we're always going to agree, because there's obviously points where you just keep arguing and arguing, and then somebody has to make the final decision, and that's my job. That's why I'm running for governor. But the fact is that I deeply believe that it's your participation and your involvement in the process that will basically give me the information, give the information to the other people in the coalition, so that in fact we make the right decision. People are not, I believe, insidiously trying to exploit all the time the resources and the people of the state. I think they do a lot out of ignorance, and they just don't understand. And I think what we have to do is we have to let everybody understand. And because, as I said, there's one issue in the state right now, and you've got to get your people back to work. It's that simple. It is bad for us socially, and it's disastrous for us as revenue-wise, as you were talking of trying to provide these programs to the people. It's the greatest opportunity I think an individual needs. I think the other things come in line. We will handle it, and we can't completely solve crime, but we can handle the crime problem when in fact we've got people at work.
Well, we're pushing Oregon for industry.